Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's September 18th. Now, September is rolling. This month really does feel like it's rolling right along. We got official news from the University of Memphis basketball program. Penny Hardaway has made it official. News that we've known was coming for a pretty long time on some assistant coaches. We got a Woj bomb about himself. We got the ACC door that wasn't open. May reportedly be staying closed. We'll talk about that, certainly. We're getting closer to Josh Heupel payback Saturday. I'm excited about that game. Number 6 Vols at number 15 Oklahoma, and it's the SEC opener for both. Obviously, we know what Heupel fired his OC there. We know what he meant to Oklahoma as a player as well. And, that'll be a get-back game in many ways. And maybe sort of a real introduction for Oklahoma to the SEC. We shall see what Tennessee has in store for Oklahoma. Also got USC-Michigan, John. Feels weird to call that a Big Ten game, the Big Ten opener for both teams, but it is. I got to get used to that, as really as it applies to USC. And then I saw Ryan Silverfield's name, the Memphis football coach, on a list of candidates for the Florida job, should it open. If Billy Napier is fired, we'll talk about whose list that was.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't see that. So it'll be news to me when we do get into that.
Way.
Yeah, I missed that one totally. But big show today. We have retirements. We have the latest on the Pac-12 realignment, coaching lists. It's all here. Drew Hill going to join us today at 11:25. Usually he's on Thursdays, but he's got something to get to tomorrow, so he's going to join us today at 11:25. Talk Grizz with him, as always. Maybe a little bit of conference realignment, and then at 1:25, Norton Hurd IV, as always, going to be with us, and we'll get into the latest with Memphis basketball. Some hires today, officially announced by Penny Hardaway: Nolan Smith, which obviously we've known about, and Mike Davis, officially announced. I didn't know that they had not been officially announced. It kind of felt like they were, but
not in these roles, right? Yeah. And what they would do officially now that things have changed over there.
Yeah, so now we have that in an official capacity. And so we'll talk about that with Hurd at 1:25. So that is the show today. Looking forward to it. But it kind of feels like conference realignment is moving quickly. Kind of feels like it's moving pretty fast. Every hour it feels like we learned something new. John Canzano was on with Jeffrey and Company yesterday. Listened to a little bit of it. And again, he mentioned Memphis being a target, which is what he wrote in yesterday morning.
Good get by Jeffrey,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he reiterated that.
And compliment each other more around here.
That's right. That. And I think there's a great piece up at The Athletic this morning from Chris Vanini that goes over a few things that I think are pertinent to Memphis. And he gets into the media rights deals and the AAC and all of that. So I'll just read from the New York Times / The Athletic from what Vanini wrote. Multiple sources briefed on the league's thinking tell The Athletic that Memphis and Tulane are the Pac-12's top targets. While conversations are being had, it's not clear the two are sold yet on the league's speculative plan. AAC Commissioner Tim Pernetti was at last Saturday's Tulane-Oklahoma game in Norman and was in Memphis on Tuesday for a previously scheduled visit. Tim Pernetti said yesterday, "The speculation is going to be speculation. There never seems to be any point where people are spending more effort building than they are maybe trying to tear down. as we look at the landscape, there's an opportunity right now to continue to build on this stuff. I feel great about the membership right now, especially because of the transparency and the conversations that we are having. Then he goes into, you know, the history of Memphis and Tulane. But it gets interesting again because we wondered, all right, what's the package going to look like? He says, some sources familiar with the league's thinking hope to land somewhere between $10 to $15 million per school per year, while other sources call that number premature and say it depends on who else joins. That number would be up from Mountain West's estimated $6 million per school and AAC $7 million for original members like Memphis and Tulane, though recent AAC additions like UTSA make less than that. TNT Sports could be a potential TV partner to watch for the Pac-12, according to Chris. They just picked up sub-licensed college football playoff games and some Mountain West games for True TV. CW, he mentions, as a potential television partner because they already have a partnership with the two-member Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Then he mentioned streaming. There was an offer from Apple, and that was not enough to keep members from going to the Big Ten and the Big 12, but it could be part of the package. So, listen, you could have a deal where it's spread out. It's Apple, it's CW, it's TNT.
Yeah.
You know, that is what that might look like.
Yeah.
And then he gets into exit fees a little bit. They believe the Pac-12 would try to negotiate that number down. People are dubious that it can be done. AAC defections would also owe exit fees in the tens of millions of dollars. While the Pac-12 can use its estimated $250 million war chest to fill in gaps, the money won't last forever. So that's really the latest. I mean, that's the gist of it in terms of the Pac-12 side of it. Again, I think it goes back to the unknown, you know, and making best guesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the position that Memphis is in. I will say, maybe the news that you saw come down from the ACC yesterday makes it a little less complicated.
That matters. And obviously that news was that talks, apparently Clemson, Florida State, and the ACC have ramped up in recent weeks on a proposal that's going to, reading from the ESPN story, just to get to the nuts and bolts, that's going to allot a greater share of revenue to schools. Now, this is a report sourced to schools based on brand valuation, television ratings. But essentially, this is, to boil it down, would be you getting Florida State and Clemson more so that they shut up and drop their lawsuits.
Yep.
Right? And so we quiet down all of this talk about those two wanting to get out, it opening up the ACC in a way that, you know, maybe you've got others jumping ship as well. And we talked about that as a potential, if it came to that. I mean, those lawsuits are there, but this could go on for years. The potential of Memphis in a spot, whatever that new ACC looks at, looks like, you take that sort of hypothetical off the table if this report is indeed true. You got to imagine, too, it's coming from a side that wants this done, mm-hmm. right? Not from a Florida State, or we'll see. We'll see whose side. I think you can tell. I think Jeffrey touched on that this morning. But it's a credible report that's out there that they're trying to. And why wouldn't they? Because those in the ACC should know you let this happen, and frankly, it threatens to you put your life as a conference at risk. Because sure, you can tell yourself, oh, we'll fill the gaps, but it'll never be the same.
Yeah.
And so then you're talking about maybe less in television rights going forward, everything else. And so you got to know that there are people in the ACC that want to keep that thing together, that want to keep it and are willing to take less to do so, give Clemson and Florida State more.
Yep.
So if indeed that is off the table, then for Memphis, well, if that lifeboat's never coming, well, this one starts to look a lot better. Again, John, I would still tell you it's the same thing it was yesterday. Memphis is in a great position here because it's still show me the money. Pac-12, show me the money, AAC. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, what Memphis can do here is it's prove its position, whether that's in a conference that looks like it's the best thing outside the power structure.
Yep.
Or here in the AAC with a new, you know, and let me tell you what's not going to get it because you heard from the commissioner, bringing the AAC basketball tournament here. No, show me the money that's going to make it more worth my while to stay here as opposed to going to the Pac-12. Now, that's going to be tough to do mm-hmm. if the Pac-12 is pulling you and Tulane. It's going to be tough for the AAC to match that up and say, oh, here's all we got for you and Tulane. We'll change up the structure. It's going to be hard to do. But it's still a math equation with Memphis, you know, really standing to gain here in terms of financially. Here's where we are in the AAC. Pac-12, show us better. We're on ESPN. Tell us what the plan is. Oh, by the way, we'll go find it on CW and TNT if we're making enough per year off this media rights deal.
Yep.
And it's offsetting our travel costs and everything else. And so it's still a math question. Maybe one thing is off the table in terms of looking east, right, the ACC. But I'd still, it's Scott's in a great position here where you've got an AAC that really has to keep you.
Yep.
It has to keep you in Tulane to truly stay alive and have a shot at being the best thing outside the power structure, even though we know you lose them, it's that shot is done, you know, with this new Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same thing. It's where I've been the entire time. The Pac-12 may indeed be the answer, but let's see the money first before we say it's the, you know, it's the move.
Yeah, and again, I think that is going to be the hard part, right? Because I don't know if you're going to be able to. I don't know if you're going to be able to get a, you know, because they can't get a television deal before they have a conference. So I don't.
Right. They're saying 10 to 15 million.
Right.
So that's what you read there.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
whether
they
Whether or not you believe it, because I don't know that you're going to be able to show much more than, right, this is what we hope will
now,
happen.
Now, I mean, listen, if you start talking about adding Gonzaga, you start talking about, you know, all these other things, I mean, there's no doubt that they'll get that. I mean, it's just, you know, I would really love to know, you know, Boise's thinking, because you know, they were getting, I think, $7 million actually from the Mountain West because they had negotiated that and they walked away from $7 million in the Mountain West. So what intel did they hear? What was so compelling from the Pac-12 to Boise that they would leave that behind? I would like to know. Just, you know, and we haven't heard anything from the schools, obviously, really, in terms of the nuts and bolts of that. But yeah, I mean, I do think that there is a consideration to make for the ESPN piece of it. I mean, it's really easy to find. It's a brand, and it's going to be an adjustment for Memphis, you know, and Memphians to have Apple, to have, you know, they're just not going to be used to it right now. You could also say get used to it because it's better, and learn to love it. But, you know, that's another thing to think about, is that you are almost certainly leaving ESPN behind. You know, that's part of this. Now again, you're capped in the American. I wish there was a way that the American would have struck first, that they could have pulled something off like this off, right? Because man, how much better would that have been? That would have solved everything. If the American could have said to Boise and to all these, now I guess the difference is they couldn't have paid the exit fee, and maybe that's why they couldn't. The Pac-12 is paying the exit fees of Boise and all those other programs, and that is the difference. But that would have really been the perfect solution,
mm-hmm.
and you would have been able to get more money from ESPN. Because you're getting brands, and now you're almost, you know, having to choose. Like, do we stay here not knowing, or do we make the leap sort of on faith that we can get the money and that we'll undoubtedly have the best, you know, group of five league? I really don't envy Memphis in the decision. I mean, on some level, it's...
Why not?
Yeah. Well,
why don't you envy Memphis? This is a position to get better, again, financially, and to improve what you've got on both sides of it.
Yeah.
And you've got the American trying to hold on to you. That's a position of leverage. This is a good position for Memphis to be in.
Yeah.
Whether you end up at the Pac-12 or you... I know. I mean, I get the sense. You're scared of this American existence that, yes, would be less than, it feels like. Although Memphis might be getting the biggest piece of the pie in it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a different conversation if you're talking about Memphis and Tulane. That's when this is almost, you get to a point of a no-brainer. If Tulane's going, you almost have to. You're left without them. It doesn't matter how big a share you've got.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have the better conference. Now, what I would say, and it hasn't been, you know, it hasn't at least been brought up on this show, on this, is that that's going to be a more competitive conference. So sure, we can tell ourselves that you're going to come out of that as the best thing in the group of five. You might get knocked back down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, again, from a resources standpoint, what you've got working with FedEx, you're going to be right there at the top in terms of what you can do from a resource standpoint of that new conference. But if the committee, and we'll see this year, and I hope they don't, because I'm not rooting for it, but if the committee rewards Liberty again for an undefeated season, then it shows you they still value that undefeated, and there's still a possibility again of being able to get a college football playoff spot out of this conference that you're dominating because you're so far ahead of everybody else. Just pointing that out, there will be a competitive difference as well,
yep.
in addition to the new travel cost and everything else. You just hope, and that's what I hope for Memphis, that deal from the Pac-12 is so good that you're willing to put all those now fewer cons, set them to the side, and go on over.
Yeah.
That's a great deal for Memphis if that goes down. You know, if you're telling me Memphis is going to be in a $10 to $15 million per year range, from this,
yep.
I will go find them on TNT or CW. We'll go get Apple TV. We'll do that here.
Yep.
Because that's what's best for the program
yep.
at that point. But let's make sure it's that. It's about the program as opposed
right.
to, well, Boise State's, they're doing it, so we better, you know, and you're right. I mean, Boise, it must mean something. They must feel real good about those financials. That matters. Mm-hmm. But we can't just go chase everybody else. We got to do what's best for Memphis.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that is, like, how do you do that? How do you?
It may be going to the Pac-12, John.
Yeah.
Right now, it looks like it very well might be.
Yeah.
Because I have my doubts on how sweet the AAC How much sweeter it can make it for you?
No, I agree.
In this league, how much power does Pernetti really have?
Right.
That's what we're talking about. You're going to reward us, bring the basketball tournament here. Oh, big deal. We've done that before. That ain't enough to. Mm-hmm. And you can't just tell me about being on ESPN. I already know the value of that.
Right.
I need more value now.
That's true. That's true.
Because the potential is Pac-12 deal is going to have it's going to have an increased value if they can get me to $10 to $15 million a year. If they can get me to that.
Yeah, I think it's unprecedented in some ways.
But that's what Boise sees, right? Going from what you said is seven.
Yeah.
You said so saying Memphis and Boise are making essentially the same thing now. I've read different. So, but if either way,
yeah,
set it at seven. So you're if they see 10 to 15 million, bro, they're doubling it. It makes all the kind of sense in the world for them.
And they're also obviously more centrally located to the Pac-12 than Memphis would be. So the travel is not even a thing either.
Not a thing for them whatsoever, not a consideration whatsoever. Now, you're going to be going to, Colorado State or whatever on some of the evening? Again, if the deal is worth it, you're absolutely willing to factor those increased travel costs in.
Right.
I would love to see an east side of things to help you a little bit. Again, bringing Tulane in would factor into that.
Canzano said they wanted to start with 9. Is what
and so 9 and no divisions with 9, right? That's not even number.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct. There'd be no divisions.
So you're traveling.
Yeah. So it'd be Tulane, Memphis. I don't know who the 9th would be. I don't know who, could it be UNLV? There's like some talk that the Board of Regents might keep them from being able to leave Nevada behind.
What about USF if there is now no ACC opening?
Yeah, I mean.
Which is what USF is supposed to be waiting on,
I think
on, right?
He mentioned USF in his piece.
If that is not off the table like it might be for Memphis, how about you going back at USF and looking at the value there?
Because how if you're USF, do you look at Memphis and Tulane and watch them leave and stay behind?
What we're saying here today and using that report and tell yourself, this ACC's closing? Like,
right.
if that door is really closing,
right.
then how do you, back to your question, are you USF and you watch Tulane and Memphis walk off?
You're kind of forced to go. You know, you're kind of handcuffed.
Maybe that's your 9.
Yeah. I think I want to say that Canzano mentioned South Florida in some tweets. So, yeah, listen, there's a meeting of the mind this week. Memphis, Tulane are the top targets. UNLV, USF, some others still in the mix. But what Memphis has to do here is, like I said, kind of unprecedented. Make a big league decision without – like that league having a television deal. Like, I don't know if that's ever happened before that I can remember. I mean, these leagues have existed, right? Like the Big East existed, the Big 12 existed, the Big 10 existed. You knew exactly what you're signing up for. You know, how do you sort of look everybody in the face and say, all right, we're going to trust them here? Because the last time that happened, the Pac-12 underdelivered and everybody left and the conference died. Now it's new leadership, it's new everything. But, you know, you do have to think about that as well. And that part of it's not easy, because then what happens? What if you go to the Pac-12 and it's not 10 to 15 million? What if it's 8 million? And then you end up, you know, so then it's probably like, okay, well, it's still probably better, but, you know, you lose a little bit on the
8 million and I'm not on ESPN anymore?
Right. Yeah.
And you,
I mean, that would
that
be.
That doesn't feel like I gained a lot there.
No, it was.
And I got increased travel costs now.
Right.
So that little million that you're saying I gained, did I? Memphis somewhere between 7 and 10, I thought is the understanding. So seems 7 seems on the low end, but either way.
I think that's what Vanini wrote, Memphis gets 7.
Okay. Seems like that's on the lower end for where they are now in this conference, them and Tulane on the, you know, at the top of it. But I guess that's everything I read, we said between 7 and 10. I figure you were on the higher end of that. Either way, that's going to factor in. If you're only making 7, same thing as Boise,
right.
Well, then that 10 to 15 is going to look just as good to you. If you're making 8 to 10 here, you know, and they're offering 10 in this new Pac-12. Well, with those increased travel costs, that might not be worth it. Memphis knows what it's making off that deal.
Yeah, and look, you can register that if Memphis goes, then there's your answer.
Well, if it's down at 7, you sound like to me they could be begging Pac-12 to take them.
Yeah, I mean, because that's where it gets dicey too now with the ACC. I mean, now the Pac-12 has a little bit more leverage, right? I mean,
they're a little bit, especially with South Florida, yeah, if they were indeed waiting for yeah, ACC and Memphis, which yeah, had considered that a possible option at one point. We thought maybe it would be the best option at one point. And again, you were banking on an explosion of it that now doesn't look like, looks like it might not happen.
Right.
Oh, I don't want to count it out here. Again, yeah, that, you have to look at where that story was sourced from.
But you have to kind of make the best decision. You have to sort of weigh the probabilities yeah, of, you know, every part of this.
You have to believe on that story. You have to believe that what the ACC is prepared to do is to now make Florida State sort of whole in what they see the SEC earning.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So
yep,
you have to get them close enough. That's a it's a hypothetical mm-hmm, that you're going to do that. So you know. But, again, even with the litigation, they're hoping that this drops the lawsuits, but even with the litigation, it could be years and years and years. That boat may never come. That's the part that you and Jeff have argued that's absolutely right. Nothing may ever happen. And in fact, today, it looks like less of a chance
yeah,
that it's ever going to happen. So
yep,
take the best deal. Just right, take the best deal.
Right.
And it's going to, you know, either way, you come out, you come out in an improved situation. Memphis is at a point of leverage. This can be a good thing.
Yeah. Hopefully yeah, it comes to a, you know, a head here soon, right? We get an answer one way or the other on, you know, where the future lies. We can start getting excited and you know, start to plan out, you know, some West Coast
trips. Well,
how
trips, excited are you planning to get, bro? You going to throw a parade?
I mean, I
told you from day one, like, the excitement level is going to be a little capped. This ain't going to the promised land.
Yeah,
now, there will be excitement.
Yeah, I'll say
that.
Like,
it ain't going to be the same.
Moderate excitement.
Yeah, okay.
Just really more like, you know, y'all leaving a bad thing behind.
Germantown, we're out.
We're out, man. We're out. We're leaving a bad thing behind. We can plan some road trips to San Diego. I mean, that's fun. Go there. Now you have an excuse to go to Boise. You see that blue turf? I mean,
I tell you this.
Just, you know, it's happening.
Don't you have games scheduled with Boise right now? You go see that damn blue turf
yeah, but
coming up.
It means more when you
stop.
You know,
it's Idaho, bro. Sell me them. You and Jeff have done some great selling.
San Diego,
Boise State
you can be sold on. San Diego. Who wouldn't want to go to San Diego?
I would love to see San Diego one time.
How about Gonzaga basketball in a league with Memphis again?
Again, the more you make this about basketball, the more I like it. But we know that you know,
it is
that's just kind of a side piece.
But
basketball is a side piece right now.
I mean, I like it.
Don't start so you're going to sound like your mark around here where you got all these big grand plans to make basketball as valuable as football. It's not, I'll believe that when I see it.
I love this for basketball.
But a basketball league, come on. It would be awesome.
Because
we talked about how in love we'd have been with Big 12 basketball and being in that. This next best thing almost.
The league is abysmal in basketball.
Because the ACC, even in a blown-up one, wouldn't have been the same. We're talking from a basketball standpoint
right,
because so many of those brands would have been gone.
They
would have
left, yes.
This is the next best thing to being
yes,
in the Big 12.
It is.
And that basketball league.
It 100%
it would
is,
be. I would love the basketball.
Football is like a little more like beauty in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, San Diego State's down. Boise State is, they're the brand. Oregon State is down.
It's an unbelievable brand.
But basketball is huge. I mean that it would be transformative in many ways. You're going from a one bid league if UAB doesn't win the tournament
that
last year
yeah,
to a 5-6 bid league potentially if you add Gonzaga. I mean that's a huge difference. Like now you're not, you know, these Tuesday games against Rice and North Texas and Tulane, you know, well I guess you'll still have Tulane, but Rice, North Texas, Tulsa, East Carolina, get them the hell out of my face, right? We're replacing those with real basketball teams. Football again, you're going to have to look at that Rorschach. You're going to have to make something of it, right?
Yeah.
But basketball, that's an easy sell, especially if you had Gonzaga.
If I was Ed Scott, I'd be telling Pernetti, y'all, you know, you talk about what can you do for us?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to think about move the conference offices here.
Yeah, they're like.
You know what I'm saying? Make us your hub.
Oh, yeah.
AAC.
Now there's.
We are it. That's what I'm saying. Forget. Where is it? Irving or Dallas
yeah,
or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah,
it needs to be moved here now to Memphis, and you guys need to pour a little extra in every year. You have them by the throat.
Mm-hmm.
You have the AAC by the throat. Now, again, I don't know what they can do to sweeten the deal for you, but if you are Ed Scott, you are definitely in that position where you can demand it of them. And again, if they can't sweeten enough to where it offsets what you think's going to happen with the Pac-12 and keywords on what you think, because as John said, they can tell you about it, but they can't show it to you right now with that TV deal.
Yep.
Right? Then
yep,
you were done.
Yep. And now they want to
make the
it,
decision based off of that. I mean, this is pretty simple. It's still math. I mean, you just put it up on the blackboard. It's still a math problem.
Yeah. And now they want to move it. The conference tournament, like, it's just a little.
That's why I said, don't now. Nah, yeah. That one I ain't buying.
Yeah.
I needed more from him yesterday on the plan. Remember,
yeah,
we were talking private equity and sponsorships and everything ago. I wanted to hear more about that as
opposed to
how Memphis going to get more.
That's what he's got.
Yeah, yeah, concepts of a plan. I need more. And Ed Scott's in a great position, bro.
Yep.
He's got all the leverage right now.
Exactly.
Hear it from him, and now you go listen to the Pac-12 and see what their plan is.
Yep. So, anyway.
See if it's a no-brainer.
That's the latest in the Pac-12 realignment deal. Obviously, this is moving pretty quickly. So, we may have an answer by the end of the week. Who knows? Or certainly, you know, the end of the month. So, stay tuned. Stick around. Jason DeJohn, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Week 3 of the NFL is here. And you can start the week with a big return on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. New to FanDuel, you get started with $200 in bonus bets. That's guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And you can spread that out, that $200 in bonus bets. Don't have to use it all up in one go. I certainly wouldn't do that. You'd turn a couple of bucks into a nice tank of gas with a quick SGP for the Thursday night football game. You got Patriots, Jets. Ramondre Stevenson, anytime touchdown. We know about Breece Hall on the other side and the star that he is. Aaron Rodgers over under on the passing yards. That's how you can do it. Just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to make every moment more this season. It's only on FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL and official partner of 92.9 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9797.
Drew Hale covers.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian joins us usually every Thursday, but we're moving it up this week to Wednesday. Joins us now. What's up, brother?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me a day earlier. One of my best friends is getting married in Charleston this weekend, and I'm a part of the wedding, so I'm heading out of town tomorrow. Weather's looking good. Never been to Charleston. Heard it's a great place, so excited to check all that out. Timing not great. Timing definitely not great with a lot of Grizzlies, a season starting stuff coming up. But, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
All right. Life happens.
Before we get into the Grizzlies, I do want to get your thoughts. I mean, Jeff wrote about his opinion. Tim Buckley wrote about his opinion. What is Drew Hill's opinion of Memphis and conference realignment?
I mean, I still think I lean towards they should go, as I said on this show last week. And I think that it becomes a little bit more clear, too, as the ACC news gets out. I have some questions about that as well, but like if if they're going to go to a new model that allows Clemson and Florida State to make more money in an effort to keep them in the conference, then I don't know if that's going to open up. I don't know if that's going to be a possibility. The Big 12 has had plenty of chances to add Memphis. They haven't done it yet. And again, for me, it comes down to this. Do you want to be a part of what the future of college athletics is going to look like? And if you do, I think you kind of owe it to yourself to be aggressive in putting yourself in a position to be in the most competitive conference possible. Whether or not you think you can win in that conference easily, I think shouldn't necessarily be a factor. You just need to be in the best conference. And right now, I just don't have a ton of confidence, and I can't predict the future to know if the Big 12 or the ACC is ever going to call Memphis. And so for me, I'm just going to be aggressive with this, and I'm going to make an effort to try to get into the Pac-12, find myself in a more competitive position, find myself among teams that may want to, the conference may end up calling later on down the line to try to add, because I think that that is the most important thing in this picture outside of, you know, money, which obviously runs the show here. So I lean towards the fact that they should go. And I certainly understand the counter argument of having questions about, you know, if it's the right move. And it would be aggressive, but I think in this scenario, I would rather be aggressive than be passive and get passed up on again, because we've been in that, we know that feeling here in Memphis, right? And we don't want that to continue to happen moving forward. So I lean towards being aggressive. I think it would be a better conference. I mean, you might have to change your name back to Memphis State, because every single college in the Pac-12 right now is State. I say that jokingly, but like I do think that it's just overall a better conference. It would be more competitive. Yeah, the travel would stink. Yeah, some of the tip-off times and game times for football would probably also stink. But on a week-to-week basis, you could get more excited about the games, especially, I think, in football. So I lean towards the idea that they should go. I'm tired of waiting around and getting left out. And I think at least this way, for the time being, you're positioning yourself to be in what would definitely be the best conference outside of that Power Four structure right now.
Drew, you are an NBA beat writer. Is there any sense of relief that you can turn off the Woj notifications, and that, you know, the idea that you're at a Cubs game or something in the middle of your vacation and Woj hits you with something, you're going to have to write 5 minutes later, hey, maybe he was coming, but you thought maybe a day later, you know what I mean? The fact that it won't be Woj, at least, that's pulling you off your vacation, any sense of relief as an NBA beat writer?
I mean, maybe a small amount, but let me tell you, like, I'm just telling you, you're going to get pulled off of stuff. You're going to have to miss stuff. If you try to take any time away in this profession, it's just going to happen, Woj or not. That is a lesson I am learning this morning, fellas. I'm learning that lesson this morning. I can't say much more on it, but it just it stinks.
Every time.
When you have to take time off,
yep,
something comes up. It just always does. And so, you know, congrats to Woj, though. That's awesome. Like, I can't imagine having to be that locked on my phone.
Oh.
That sounds terrible to me. I mean, I already don't like it. You know, I've learned a lot, I think, since I became a beat writer. And one of those things is that, like, I don't love always being tied to my phone.
Right.
I don't love that.
Yeah.
Especially with the culture of today's social media. And this is true. Like, when I got to Memphis, like, I didn't have a big following on, like, Twitter or whatever. And then it slowly started to grow more and more as I was the Tigers beat writer, and it kind of makes you feel important. And I think that can come with a little bit of danger. Like that's, you shouldn't feel how you feel about yourself based on what social media looks like. I just think that that's just not really healthy. And I've really tried to, at least. I mean, you may notice, like, I don't really tweet that much anymore. Like, it's, and the reason is because
a lot of it's just a disaster on there. And the truth is that that social media doesn't exactly drive a ton of traffic to like our stories. Like if you're going to read the Daily Memphian, I think a lot of people are reading the Daily Memphian, just clicking on the website in the morning and going read, getting their Grizzlies news. And so to me, like I'm saying this to say, I certainly understand how life would be healthier if you weren't so attached to social media, if you weren't so attached to your phone, because I feel like in a different way than Woj, obviously, a lot smaller way than Woj, I've found that. And so for me, that's been something that I've prioritized and really started to care about. And I know, like, John, you've talked about this before too, right? Like it is sometimes social media is just a mess and it turns you into a person that you're not. And so I think that's something I've really learned as I've gone along in this career. And, you know, I'm happier to be a little bit more distant on something like that, as important as it may be for your job.
Yeah, I loathe it, but you're tethered to it. You know, it's just you've gotten in such a habit of using it, you know, that it's just all you know. So, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, if I ran like an analysis of like, you know, how much I tweeted, you know, 5 years ago versus how much I've tweeted in the last year, it wouldn't even look like the same account. You know, for a variety of reasons, really, when it comes to that particular website. like it seems like there's never anything, but I don't know who we had on the show once. I think it was Bomani. I asked him about it, you know, and he said, we're addicted to the outrage. We're all addicted to the outrage. That was his thesis. And, I think there's something to that, you know, when it comes to opinions and yelling, and we're kind of addicted to it at this point. We're just conditioned to want to do it.
So good for Woj for not having to.
Yeah.
Do that all the time. Like I'm genuinely happy for him. The new gig seems cool. I know that's like a new age kind of job in college sports.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome. And so yeah, man, I'm happy for him. It's not fun. I mean, there's lots of parts about this job that are really fun, like people that you talk to, the stories that you get to tell. And there's a lot of really rewarding parts to it. You know, I go to basketball games like every other day and consider that to be a living. And like, that's really awesome. And I'll never take that for granted. But the parts that stink are, you know, a lot of it has to do with the social media and the stuff that goes on that people don't get to see. And so, you know, it's not a healthy existence for anyone, I think, to be that attached to something that can be very toxic.
I imagine it's hard. It's harder to unplug too when you're making that much money, or it's hard to get off the you know, off the wheel when you're making as much, and you mean as much to the business as he does as well. I'm happy for him though, whether it's peace or whatever else going back home, being the NIL department at St. Bonaventure, whatever he's going to be. Sounds like it's going to be a peaceful existence for him. How about these new jaws? Aren't they dropping here in a couple of days? The Jatu?
Oh, yeah, the new jaws. Yep, that's coming soon. I think later this week you'll probably end up getting some more information on that.
Different?
So, yeah,
I guess it would be cool. I need to frame a question towards you. How much different are they than the Ja 1 from what you've been able to tell? You know, you've written a little bit about it.
Yeah, they're a little different. I mean, they're a signature shoe. Like, they're the style of them is different. Like, I think there was more, like, sort of fabric, I guess is the right word, on the Ja 1s. These look a little bit more futuristic, I guess, yep, than the Ja 1s. And there's images out there, so, like, people can go see them if they want. But I think it's cool. I mean, like, this is going to be a thing that we're following with Ja for a long time. It doesn't feel quite as massive as like when he got his first signature shoe.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
This is going to become a little bit, you know, repetitive as the 3 and the 4 and whatever, however many he ends up having come out. But I like the look of them. I think they look cool. They give me like a more of a Kobe vibe. Like if you,
yep,
like a lot of one of the very popular shoes is the Grinches, you know, the bright green shoes, and the reverse Grinches, the red with the bright green laces that you see a lot of players wear around Christmas. I'm not saying it looks like that, but like the shape of the shoe is closer to that than like what the Jet 1 was. And so, you know, I think that it looks a little bit more stylish to me than the Jaw ones did. So that's going to be cool having that come up. And I'm sure he will have those out and about beginning in training camp in October, because this has been something that's been in the line coming down the pike here for a while. We've known about these Jaw 2s so since the spring, I believe. So, yeah, that'll be cool. It'll be exciting for Jaw 2. To get those out there and roll those out, and he'll have a whole brand new set of shoes to be wearing during the season, and we'll have all kinds of new things to snap photos of and shoot around and put out for people to see. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Speaking of the Memphis Grizzlies, I saw someone say yesterday that we talked about it a little bit, that Mark Stein had the Grizzlies 12th in his standings as of, I guess, this month. What do you make of that, of a real doubt there from a national reporter, from Mark Stein?
It's par for the course, I think, right? Like, this is what we've come to expect this offseason. And I'll say what I've said for a month plus now as I kind of look at this roster. I fully expect that this team is going to be highly competitive, and this team has performed well against some of the best teams in the NBA when they are healthy. I think the season's really going to boil down to a couple of things for the Grizzlies and just how well it can go. One is Ja going to remind everybody that he is this elite, elite player? I mean, I was texting you, John, about this. Like, if you go look at the best season from Anthony Edwards and the best season from Jalen Brunson, both of which happened last year, and you put it up against Ja's best season that he had as a Grizzly in 21-22, you know, before the distractions and injuries, like, Ja had just as good, if not a little better, of a season than both of those guys. And people are really quick to give the Knicks and the Timberwolves credit, but they for whatever reason, are overlooking the Grizzlies. I think it has to start with Ja reminding everybody of just how good he is, and I haven't lost any faith in that. And so I think that, you know, he's going to come back, he's going to be a force, and I think that's going to be a quick reminder of, oh, wait, when Ja is really good, the Grizzlies are really good. And I think they're going to return to being one of the best, you know, teams at scoring in the paint across the NBA. And that instantly is going to help them. You would assume this team is going to be very good defensively as long as they stay healthy as well. They have been. They were a good defensive team last year, even as everybody was hurt. And then I think kind of the key to this, the key to this car, what can really drive them forward, is going to, strangely, be how quickly Zach Edey can get up to speed. I've done some writing this week about the changes in the coaching staff, some of the things that I think will actually, how the changes will impact them on the court itself. And not only that, but just the half-court offense. And if you look at how the Grizzlies have played half-court offense over the last three seasons, like last year, they played at the 18th fastest pace in the NBA. But they had the worst half-court offense in the NBA in terms of points per 100 plays. Well, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for the worst offense in the NBA, which is what they became. Because you're not playing fast, you're playing slow, and you're really bad at playing slow. And so that, to me, was a disaster. You throw that out with all the injuries. If you go back 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you have a team that still really struggled, bottom third of the league in points per 100 plays in half-court offense, but was actually really good in points per 100 possessions because their offensive rebounding numbers were through the roof. And that was their saving grace. That was how they reached those 50-win seasons. That was a massive part in this. Even if this team plays as fast as they possibly can, roughly 75%, of their offensive possessions are going to come in the half court. Think about that. So 3/4 of the game is still going to come in half court settings. Even if you have an amazing offensive rebounder like Steven Adams, you're playing by far the majority of the game when it's slow. That is the most critical thing for this team to fix. I think Asalo is going to be really helpful in fixing it. The more I've dug into him, the more I really like what I read and what I see, and I think that he's going to be helpful for this team in the half-court offense. how close can Zach Edey be to what Steven Adams was is just a really, really important piece. And he's really pivotal in this because even if the Grizzlies improve that half-court offense, if they can get to the middle of the league instead of the bottom third of the league, they still need to rebound at a high rate, especially offensively, if they want to be one of the better offenses in the NBA. If that happens, I have a ton of faith that this team is going to be very competitive, that they're going to come close to winning 50 games, and that they're going to be among some of the best teams in the West. And when they play the good teams, the games are going to be close. And so for those reasons, I don't see the Grizzlies finishing low like that. It would have to be that they none of the problems got solved, and Edey didn't really come along as fast as we all thought he would. And in that scenario, maybe it would be a struggle, but I just don't feel like that's going to happen.
Well, that's well laid out. I must ask you, the Bears fan in you, Drew, is any part of it panicking about our offense, about what you've seen so far from Caleb and company on offense through the first two games?
You know, I read a great piece by Adam Johns. He's the Bears beat writer for The Athletic, and I think he put this perfectly. He said, that was Caleb's welcome to the Bears moment on Sunday night when they couldn't block for him at all, like at all. The offensive line was horrific, and they've been by far the worst offensive line by the numbers in the NFL so far this season.
Right.
You can't run because you can't block. Awesome. I mean, so it's pretty – all of that was a welcome to the Bears moment. The way Adam Johns put it was, we might not be pressing the panic button just yet, but we see it on the table. Like, we see that panic button.
We've looked for it. Yes, we have now looked for where it is on the table.
Yes, we have 100%. Identified that panic button. That is the stage that I'm in.
Yep.
It felt like the same old Bears. It feels like, no matter who they put out there, they're going to find a way to be broken. And I came into the season not feeling that great about Matt Eberflus. And I watched Hard Knocks, and I just don't find him to be very inspiring. I just don't.
He's a defensive coordinator playing head coach. I agree with you completely. Worried about, the appearance more so than the actual substance. That's what I think.
And it's just like, he's not a galvanizing voice.
I agree.
Right? Like, he's monotone. It's difficult. He doesn't strike fear into the players the way someone like Bill Belichick or Nick Saban would. I just don't know what he's bringing to this team. I feel like if this was like Ben Johnson or some offensive mind, like the offense wouldn't be what it is, but who knows? I mean, it's the Bears.
Points.
Like, we find a way to screw up every quarterback we've ever had. But you know what? I think I'm not pressing the panic button on Caleb. I'm not worried about that. I'm honestly not really worried about the interceptions he threw. One of them was a great play. I'm more worried that his confidence is now completely shaken and he has zero faith in that offensive line, and it's just going to create more and more problems down the line.
Did you see the post-game reaction, interaction, I should say, from CJ and Caleb?
I did see that.
Now, I'd like to know your response, because Caleb, I mean, I know he just lost, but he did not appear very interested in hearing what CJ had to say.
Well, Caleb has had to hear all offseason about the comparisons between him and CJ Stroud, and then he just went out and got outplayed by CJ Stroud. It's not even like CJ Stroud was spectacular in the game. He had some spectacular throws, but like offensively, they didn't. I mean, they scored one offensive touchdown. So, I don't know. If I was in Caleb's shoes, too, I may not want to hear that from CJ. I would probably turn to CJ and say, yeah, well, that's great. I really appreciate the advice, and I appreciate the kind words. But until I find an offensive line, we are in deep doo-doo. So, I don't know. I can't blame him for looking angry because – that would have infuriated me if I had to just stand in there and get smacked 50 times during a football game because my offensive line literally can't pick up a simple defensive line stunt. Like, the minute that they brought anything outside of four guys, straight towards the quarterback, it was a disaster. So they got problems. They got major problems. And that my fear is that they are going to ruin what might be the very best defense in the NFL. And we're on track to do so.
Right. Drew, you're the best, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for
doing
the time,
this.
As always. Good stuff.
Yep. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Yep. He's Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to overanalyze it. I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze it. I mean, Caleb, it kind of, you know, got his ass beat on national television, right? He got hit however many times, right? His offensive line's letting him down, you know, can't really do anything. Probably not in the mood to talk. You know, I'm not gonna hold it against him. But it definitely looked weird, man. It was like CJ tried to talk to him, then he pulled off, then CJ said, "Come here." Like it was a little weird, you know. But again, I'm not gonna be too hard on him because
I would listen to CJ because he's a servant of the Lord.
Yeah.
As you know. So I would listen to him.
And he's also, you know, I mean, he
may have a message for
he's
you.
A stud, and he did have a message.
Well, know? but I will say too, I mean, he is just a second-year QB.
Right. It's not like it's
so
Aaron
you're not
Rodgers,
meeting with yeah. Aaron or yeah, no, Tom
that's
Brady.
True. That's true. Like,
you know, but here's my thing. I don't think CJ's trying to come across
no,
that
he
way
wasn't.
Either.
He was so just trying to show him some love.
I don't think you can hold that against CJ, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the moment itself, you might say, man, we don't need to do
well,
this.
Well, I will say this.
In front of camera. But this dude is a second-year quarterback, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not Tom Brady.
His big message was, stop taking all those hits. Like, bro, have a choice.
Well, now, well,
Marvin's alive.
No,
a
couple on the sideline, man. Where he could have that's what we're talking about more so.
Yeah.
Than the
true.
Ones in the backfield.
That's true.
He's sitting up there getting ate up. Didn't look like the team wanted to fight for him either. There for a second,
he's got to ride the troops this week against
man
the Colts.
A different kind of way. That's what I'm saying.
Must win game against AR.
I don't know about must win.
It's a must win, brother. Or else AR going to be giving him some advice after the game as well, bro.
Get off my team. What Raiders? Worry about who you got in.
We got Andy Dalton this weekend.
Oh, I saw that. I actually went and picked up your defense.
If AR5 wins and gives Caleb advice, is that going to be a new low?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Because bro only played 3 games last year. Now you looking at you, giving you advice.
That's right.
Basically, in terms of number of starts.
Like, yeah.
And he's coming off of, let's be real, a bad game.
Oh, he was terrible.
Like, hey, come on. AR ain't even CJ level.
Yeah, he's not.
We were just talking about CJ ain't Brady and Aaron Rodgers level. Now, again, I want to stress this. CJ doesn't come across to me as that type.
No, I don't think
that I've arrived and let me talk to you, youngster.
Exactly.
You know, let me impart this wisdom. I don't get that vibe from him either. So Caleb does, man. You can't take stuff so personal.
Right.
You know, and we get it, bro. We're watching. We know the offensive line's struggling. You don't need to be all demonstrative and doing extra.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad deal. What are you going to do to help fix it?
Exactly. But
Lord knows Poles and them got their part in as well.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, Audio Turn FM, ESPN.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.